Thankful to be here tonight. I just want us just to take a moment and close our, just to be ready to receive. Just lift up your hands. Just to be ready to receive whatever the Lord wants to deposit in each and every one of us. The way you get into the presence of God is to have a thankful heart. It says you enter his gates with thanksgiving. And so, Lord, right now, I just want you in your own words just begin to thank God for what he's done in your life and what he's continuing to do in your life, how he's making provisions for you. Lord, we just thank you. Just go ahead and pray to him. Lord, we thank you. Thank you tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, what you continue to do, oh God. We worship you. And we want nothing except what you want for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that the word that goes forth would be nothing but your word, Father God. And even if it's something that I say, Lord, if you want to change it between my mouth and their ears, Lord, I just ask you to do that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many were here on Sunday? Who can tell me what Pastor preached on? Huh? Okay, love. That's part of it. What? Be there for our people. So we would consider that what? The body, right? How many remember that? The body of Christ. Yeah, love is patient. Yeah, that's a hard one. I was amening with him when he said he can't get past the first one. I've been there. You want to put a scripture up for me? I think I'm going to use my Bible. This is the large letter edition. I want you to put up 2 Timothy 3:16. It's New King James. Or you can, I don't care what you put up, really. Just get it up there. There you go. Okay. All scripture is inspired by God and is what? Profitable. Okay. It's for teaching. It's for reproof. That means you're going to prove it again. Reproof, right? For correction and for training in righteousness. I want us to see that because I grew up in the church, but I didn't always serve the Lord. And one thing that I did learn listening to my dad preach my whole life, and he would say this once in a while, don't just trust the preacher. You need to trust the Word of God. If they're not preaching the Word of God, then you don't need to be listening. Did you? He heard it. Anybody else hear that? It's for to be profitable for us, for our life, to give us directions, to give us correction, to give us a roadmap for life, and to give us the ability to go on when we can't go on by ourselves. Amen. We have something that's going to be feeding our spirit man and helping us in our daily walk. When Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. I have to do that multiple times a day sometimes. It's not just a one time and I'm done deal. Uh-uh. It's continually. And we have to bring every thought captive. That's just the hors d'oeuvre. I'm going to preach here in a little bit, but I just really felt I was up at 2:30 this morning. So if I'm kind of looking like a zombie, that's the reason. And I've been having a terrible time ever since my cancer surgery. I just have not been able to sleep. And so if you think of me sometime when you're awake in the middle of the night, you can pray for me that I can go back to sleep. But how many have ever felt in life like you wonder, what are you good for?
what are you here for? I've felt that way. Is anybody else? Come on, be honest. We're the body of Christ, right? We can hang out together. So there's times that I've wondered, Lord, what am I doing here? I feel like an outsider. I feel like I don't belong. You know what? That is not the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you tonight. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1 says this. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I anointed you. I had a plan for your life. And you read later on in Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that. It's our family verse. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you what? Hope and a future. How many looking forward to the future? Amen. So you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew you before you were even born. Amen. Paul writes this in Ephesians. It says, for we, say, I am. His work made in the image of God. You're not an accident. You're not some amoeba that got burped up on the shore someplace like the world wants to try to tell you that you are. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, created in his image for his glory so that you can enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise in your heart, amen, so that you can get into his presence and move forward in the life that he's called you to. Now, on Sunday, he was preaching somewhat on the body of Christ, and I was just pondering this, and I had no idea what he was preaching on Sunday when he asked me to get up here and do testimonies. And the Lord spoke something to me about what's in your toolbox. How many remember that? And I thought, I'm just going to work on that line, because when he was preaching, you know, a lot of people, they like to talk. They've got a mouth, you know, so they think, that's my gifting, the gift of gab. But, and it goes on to say that, well, am I really part of the body because I'm not the eye or I'm not the ear? Well, who wants to be the big toe? Think about it. You know what the big toe gives you? It gives you balance. And if you're a monkey, you can grab on with that thing. But seriously, I know people that have lost their big toes and they have to practically learn how to walk again because they cannot maintain a correct posture and a correct balance. You see, that's why the body of Christ is so important. We balance each other out. Amen? Amen. So I was thinking about this toolbox thing and I was going to bring pictures and I just forgot. I got a toolbox at home. It kind of represents my life before Christ, you know, and maybe like a lot of us, I open up that lid and it's just full of junk. There's an old stethoscope in there. There's some rusty bolts. There's some broken screwdrivers. There's some wrenches in there. There's some sockets in there. There's some work gloves. There's a flashlight that don't work. There's all kinds of junk in there, and I couldn't find what I wanted to find if I needed it. Without dumping it all out and starting over. And see, that's what the Lord does in our life. He gives us a fresh start when we are rebirthed in him, amen? When we are born again, he takes the old man and he literally, the word says in Micah chapter 7, that he throws our iniquities into a sea of forgetfulness. Think about that. So when you say, Lord, forgive me of my past life, forgive me for what I was, when the enemy, the devil, tries to throw it back in your face and you bring it before the Lord again, he says, what sin? What thing? I don't remember that. You know, that's important. Paul and I are on the phone for over an hour last night talking about some of this stuff. And what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? And we have to be accountable for some things. I don't know about you,
but I don't want to be a bench warmer. Come on. Think about it. It's a Super Bowl of Super Bowls we're going to be standing before too long here. And they call your name, and you're sitting on the bench, sound asleep, when really you should be out doing things, amen? You should be involved, right? So with our toolbox, a lot of us have different giftings and different callings, okay? Now, I can't sing as pretty as Kirsten, so he hasn't called me to sing that way. I can't play guitar like my brother. I definitely can't beat them drums like Steve does. I can't do some of the things that some of you can do, but God has not called me to do those things. You see, many of us have a toolbox with the giftings and the anointings that God has given us, and we forgot how to even open the toolbox. We haven't even looked for so long. It's kind of ironic that you were sharing downstairs a little bit about, we got to get guys on board. We could do dramas. We could do this, and we could do that, and the other thing. I'm looking at people here tonight. They've got all kinds of giftings and talents, and you're doing nothing with them. And I hate to say it, but you're being a bench warmer. We should be, put me in, coach. I want to play. Oh, boy, I must be getting old. I lost my train of thought. Hallelujah. I want you to think about where you've come from in the last year, the last 6 months. And where do you see yourself in the next 6 months, in the next year? The psalmist wrote this. He says, without vision, my people perish. Without vision, they cast off restraints, is what the King James says. You have to have vision and motivation to help you propel yourself. Now, I'm asking you tonight, I know there's a lot of people that's got things in their life, and they're just sitting there. It's kind of like a tea bag. You can have the most expensive Earl Grey tea. Oh, I love Earl Grey tea. Oh, it's laced with bergamot, you know, and it just smells so good. But it doesn't do any good if I just sniff it. I got to put it in boiling water and let it simmer. And if you're from the UK, they would want you to simmer it for 3.5 minutes at just pre-boiling, and so it stews. It's just like the gifts that God has given you, and you're sitting there holding them. They're not going to jump out of you by themselves. They've got to be submersed with the Holy Spirit so that they can be turned into something good for His glory. Amen? Now, the cool thing about the body of Christ is we're all made up of different things, all giftings, all kinds of things. Some are preachers, some are teachers, some are pastors, some are evangelists, some are Sunday school teachers, some are youth leaders, some are church bus drivers. You know, I remember as a kid, we had guys that had a sign-up list to be the church bus driver. I don't think I would have wanted to do that in the Minnesota or Duluth winters, you know, those old two-wheel drive vans and getting stuck all the time. But somebody had a heart to do that. And you know why? Because people needed a ride. And you may be somebody's church bus here tonight because you might be going by somebody's house and they don't have a good way to get here, but you could open your door and say, hey, can I give you a lift?
That's a ministry gift. You don't think so? Yeah, it is. Most ministry's not on the platform. I'll say it again. I got one amen. Most ministry is not on the platform. The neat thing about the body of Christ is we all carry different giftings with us. And like in the natural world, I'm not a mechanic. I have mechanical stuff I can do. But I bet if you went into a mechanic shop, say Seth was a mechanic and he had his Snap-on toolbox, his $10,000 toolbox with $30,000 worth of tools, and I just decided to go over there and grab a wrench and go work on my stuff, you know what would happen? I'd probably get hit in the back of the head by another wrench because I was taking his tools. But really, in the body of Christ, what the Lord wants us to do is open up our toolbox, and I don't have this one, but he does, and I need help. I can grab a hold of him and say, come help me, brother. Amen. Come help me. Or I can grab a hold of my sister here and say, I need help with this. Can you help me? See, we can glean from one another. We can borrow the giftings from one another, amen, and utilize and help each other grow for the greater good, amen. And that's the body of Christ. Some of you, I don't really know your names, but I see your faces a lot, and I'll begin to pray for you. And that's a ministry. I don't know why God lays somebody on my heart, but if God lays somebody on your heart, don't just blow it off. You may be the very prayer warrior that they need at that moment. About 15 years ago, I was in Nepal with Mike Pacone, and we were ministering up way up in the mountains, and we got on a bus called a Green Line bus. And have you ever seen that show? Is it called The Worst Roads in the World? What is it called? Not Ice Roads, no. No. Anyways, it's a show about these roads that are really impassable, and that's what we were on. You're driving in this bus, and there's half the road's gone. It's down a cliff, you know, like 6,000 feet. And so these guys are speaking Hindi, and I'm praying in tongues because I don't want to go over. And we're traveling, okay, all over. And little did I know that my daughter, Brianna, when she was up, she's what, 28 now, I think she's like 12 or 13, woke up in the middle of the night. Woke up my wife and said, we need to pray for daddy. And she got this urgency in her spirit. And that's a gift that comes from the Lord. And so she began to pray. And my dad was living across the road from our house at that time. And he came over, began to pray. That feeling for her, they prayed for 3 days for me. Little did they know that the very bus that we were on, when we got off to get on another one, a Unabomber got on that bus and blew the whole thing up and killed everybody. See, the power of prayer and using the giftings that God has given you is so important. Simple things like when I was recovering from my surgery, I got cards from people that I haven't heard from in years. But God laid it on their heart. And that can be somebody's gift, is to write a card out to send a message of hope and encouragement. Amen? Maybe you're going to be in a gas station sometime, and you might see an older person or a single mom, and the Lord might just lay it on your heart. Hey, you got that extra 20 in your wallet. Yeah, but I was saving that for fishing bait, Lord. Yeah. But the Lord might be speaking to you to put that 20 bucks in that lady's tank, because she may be the one praying, Lord, is there anybody that could help me? I don't know how I'm going to be able to get from plan A to plan B. About 12 years ago, I was preaching in a church in Carlton, and there's a young man there who was having a real extensive surgery, and he was going to be out of work at least 6 to 9 months. And so they were wondering, they had four little kids,
how are they going to make it? Even just driving back and forth, they lived out your direction to Duluth 2 to 3 times a week for doctor's visits. How are they going to afford the gas? And how are they going to make ends meet with food and everything? And the Lord laid it on my heart to pray for them. So I called them forth. And, you know, the easy thing for me to do would have been said, you know, let's just take up an offering for this couple. Let's just help them out, you know. But the Lord didn't tell me to do that. He told me specifically to pray the way I'm going to tell you I prayed. I prayed that their gas tank would not go empty and that their cupboards would not go bare. And that was a step of faith, big time, for me too, because I'm praying this, I'm speaking something that doesn't exist as though it does. It's what Paul tells us to do in Romans. I'm prophesying as I'm praying over them that their gas tank will not go empty and that their cupboards will not go bare. Now, that's going to, if that pans out, that's a whole, how many know that's a whole lot better than a $20 bill to put gas in your tank? Just like the woman who had the flask of oil, and the prophet came by and says, I'm hungry. She says, well, I only have enough oil just to make my son and I our last little cake, and we're going to eat it and die. He said, no, make it for me first. And how many know that somewhere there's still a vial of oil? God provided for her. So I was preaching in that church like 5 months later, and I did what we do here every service. I said, you know what? Who's got a testimony tonight? And she gets up and she comes to the front. She's just bawling. She said, when you prayed for me, she said, you said that you prayed that our gas tank would not go empty and that our cupboards would not go bare. And I'm here to tell you, folks, she ran back and forth in a Suburban from Cromwell to Duluth 3 times a week and never once ran out of gas. And I ran into her daughter a few months ago that came into the ER. And she says, I remember when you prayed for our family. See, God did that. And see, God wants you to step out in faith and open up your toolbox and ask him, what resources do you have available? You see, when you allow, see, we sang that song tonight, it's your breath in my lungs. If you truly believe that, then walk it out. James says, oh, I don't want to misquote this. Let me look it up here. Bear with me just a second. I got to fumble through my Bible. Let's see, James is before he... Hebrews. Turn to your neighbor and say, I needed this tonight. Here it is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Harley. I will show you my works, my faith by my works. Oh, here we go. Sorry. Whew. James 2. 2 and 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? I'm not talking about works saves you now, okay? We're already more mature than that, amen? We're already walking in Jesus, okay? We've already surrendered our life to him, but he doesn't want us just to be a bench warmer. How many agree with that?
Give me a Yahoo. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, have a nice day, stay warm, be filled, but you don't give them anything that they need, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself does not have works. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You've got to put it in action. Amen? I don't always feel like getting up and going to work. But if I don't go to work and put it into action, guess what? I don't get a paycheck. And if I don't get a paycheck, I can't pay my bills. And if I don't pay my bills, then I got my credit score goes down, and I got people calling me on the phone and sending me nasty grams on the email and all that kind of stuff. See, God's not going to hound you that way. He wants you to be mature enough to put your faith into action. Amen? So James goes on and says that, but some of you will say, you have faith and I have works. I say, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. See, the Lord wants you to open up your toolbox tonight and take inventory of what you got in there. Some of you haven't opened it for so long, the dust is that thick because you've been living in a me, I mentality, and I'm going to get all I can get, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to blend and share with one another and open up and be part of the body of Christ. Some of us have to be the big toe. We can't all be the eyeball. Some of us have to push a broom. Some of us have to shovel the snow. I thank God when I come here in the wintertime that I don't have to shovel them steps before I come to church. It might make it a little more challenging. Thinking about my mom, I have to help her up the stairs or inside to get to the elevator, you know. I thank God that somebody is working and putting the giftings that God has given them, the ministry of helps. And I'm going to say right now that this church does an awesome job helping. I was flabbergasted and we had that back to school thing. Everybody is just, it was like, just like clockwork. It's like, holy smokes, look at this. And you had over 200 kids. That's awesome. So my challenge for you tonight, since you were fearfully and wonderfully made, since you were anointed from your mother's womb, since he has a great plan and a purpose for your life, my challenge is for you tonight is to step out in faith and begin to put those things that God has given you into action. And you know what? If you stumble and fall, it's okay. Because stumbling and falling is a part of life. In fact, it says in the Word of God that the righteous may, what, fall seven times? But what does he do? He lays there, right? No? Gets back up. That's right. When we almost knocked Rocky off my barn roof the other day. No, it was Mike, actually. It was Mike. I was just praying, oh, Jesus, hang on to him. As the truss is flying up like this, and Mike's leg is going with it, and then whoom, comes right back. See, those guys were using giftings and skills that they wouldn't use right here, but they were ministering to me as a member of the body of Christ. And that's so important. I don't even know what time I started. In closing, I just want to say this. There's so many times in life that I don't know what I'm doing. Anybody else get that? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get from here to there. But I know somebody who does. And James also says this. He says, Steve, if you lack wisdom, you can ask God. Who gives it to you freely without making you feel stupid? Come on. He's the life giver. And he wants to put more of him in you so that out of you can come more of him. Amen? See, a lot of people are not going to read the Bible. They're going to read you. So what kind of book are you giving them? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hey, if you need prayer tonight, I know Roxanne wanted prayer. We don't want to leave anybody out. We want to pray for you. I mean, that's body ministry. It's like we've been praying for Goldie and been praying for Bobby. You guys prayed for me. And I'm a living miracle, thank God. I just got to celebrate my 7th grandchild 2 weeks ago. And Uncle Paul, we have an 8th on the way. I said, and Uncle Paul, we have an 8th on the way. But I just want to pray over you tonight. You know, there's the Word of God is so full of prophecy and truth. It's alive and powerful. Amen. It's not dead. It's alive. It's pertinent for 2023, even with all the junk going on. You can still find peace, still find direction. You can still find purpose. Amen. You're not going to get that on CNN. But I just want to pray over you tonight. I'm just going to pray a prophetic prayer that, and if you want to receive it, then just lift your hands to the Lord and just, if you really mean business, that you want to be used of God. Samuel heard the Lord speak, and he didn't even know what he was listening to. And he had to go to Eli the prophet multiple times, and finally Eli got on the board with the program and realized it's the Lord speaking. He said, go back. The next time he speaks, say, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Lord, I pray that you would open up ears to hear your voice, hear your word, oh God. Another prophet, Elijah, he said, here I am, Lord, send me. God wants people that are willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. And the cool thing about it, when we surrender that part of our life, we begin to accumulate more tools in our toolbox. We begin to accumulate more giftings, more talents. You see, he gives you what you can handle right now. But as you begin to be faithful in the little, he's going to give you a whole lot more. Amen. So, Lord, I just prophesy the future. Great beginnings, God. Great starts, but greater finishes, I pray. Lord, that each and every one of these men and women in here could look back and say, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I'm moving on. I'm not living life in the rearview mirror anymore. I'm pushing ahead for the upward call of God in my life. Lord, I pray that you would equip each and every one here tonight for the areas that you've called them to, I pray. In Jesus' name, say, I receive it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.